I think we're live and the seats are filling up here in the MSB Experience Lounge. Mark, you want to describe the manifestation of your background in your office there?
The manifestation of my background. Well, hey, everybody. I'm Mark Jamison. I'm the CEO of 2W Technologies. We're a technology solutions provider primarily for manufacturers. So if it's a manufacturing firm, we do most of the technology right up until that dotted yellow line that only the equipment operator can go across. Doing technology and manufacturing, as a lot of folks know, is incredibly difficult. The buildings are either too old or too cold or too dusty or too hot, or there's language barriers, and that's the kind of stuff we deal with that. We do with that every day. I've been with 2W for coming up on, it'll be 12 years next month, actually.
Excellent.
It's been a hell of a journey.
It's been awesome tuning into your podcast. And so everyone stop what you're doing, go to YouTube real quick, open a separate window, 2W Tech, I believe that is the first thing that'll pop up. And one of your recent podcasts, actually a couple months ago, but you had a chat with Tom, and you're talking about AI in the workforce, and we're going to get into a little bit of that. And you draw some Microsoft bits in there as well. But it's just a really good conversation. I love the banter, and it sounds like the podcast is going really well for you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we have a lot of fun doing it. We set up a separate little corner of our building that has our podcast room. It has an on-air sign over the top of the door, and we have the big mics and the sofas and comfy chairs and that kind of thing. And we try to keep it really casual and just conversational. In fact, I think that's what we call it, is conversations. And just as if we were talking about whatever the topic happens to be, and the one that you just mentioned was the one where our chief technology officer and I are talking about AI, and AI is a major initiative for us here. We do have a expertise designation from Microsoft from data and AI. We've developed our own AI platform, which is pretty cool. We've been using it for about 2 years now, and we've just started to take it to market to our clients. And so it's pretty exciting and kind of fun and great. There you are.
Thanks for without fail, something's going to happen. This is a live stream, and we're proving it. This is not pre-recorded because I just got kicked out and refreshed my browser.
It's like when you do a systems demo. Yeah. You know something is going to go wrong.
Right. What was the first iPhone launch? Like, they had to like script that 20 different ways and just hack it to death.
They weren't quite sure how it was going to work out.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is not that. This is actually live. Also, all right, well, let's get into it. And we'll see who pops in and out of our streaming service here. But Mark, we're so thrilled to have you. You're on our partner advisory council here at Axient. I meet with you, as do all of us together when we do our quarterly meetings, and we get your feedback. And you've been a long, long, long time Axient partner, and you're really forging new paths. And let's talk about the power of Microsoft. We have so much to unpack, but let me just put it at your feet because,
The interesting thing about Microsoft is when people talk about Microsoft, now it may be a little bit different in the MSP space, right? But just in the client-based space, people tend to think about Word and Excel and Outlook and email and that kind of stuff. And it's so much more than that. And just that what they call the modern work stack is so much more than just those applications. In fact, I think at last count, Business Premium had something like 110 different applications that were baked into that particular SKU. And I think there's well over 1,000 365 modern work SKUs. Mm-hmm. And it stretches. In fact, we've got a whole bunch of that information on our YouTube channel. But it stretches across security. It stretches across collaboration. And there are, what people don't understand, I think, is we have a lot of clients that subscribe to third-party products and services that are inherently baked within the stuff that they already own through their Microsoft licensing. Mm-hmm. And so about a year or so ago, we realized that we were doing a pretty good job of implementing technical but we weren't doing a very good job of consulting and teaching and showing how best to use this and what's the best way to do collaboration and that sort of thing. And so we took a playbook or page out of our, so we're also experts in an ERP system for manufacturers called Epicor. Right. And we took a playbook out of that consulting part of our business, and we were beginning to implement it into our modern work practice. So it's not so much about configuring and turning it on and making sure it works. And we realized that's what we were doing. We were going in and we were going, okay, here, you're all set up. See ya. You know, watch this video and that'll teach you how to do it. But we're really starting to look at consulting and teaching. And so our clients will begin to get the maximum amount of value out of the investment that they make.
That's amazing. So everyone, just a reminder, this is the MSP Experience Lounge. You're live with Mark and myself. This is a Q&A. We're on LinkedIn. We're live. Of course, this will be recorded. You get to tune in and see the comments later. But please, please, please feed us the questions. And Isabella, our wonderful facilitator, is going to continue to feed me things. I can weave it into the conversation. But anything Microsoft, you know, M365, AI, I'm the marketer, Mark, so I want to call it collaboration as a service. You know, how do we productize these things where you're kind of taking the technology, but to your point, like you're seeing needs that go beyond just data and speeds and feeds and bandwidth. And to your point, you know, dusty power supplies and all that kind of stuff. But now it's about collaboration and what else can you use the stack to really empower teams with. So everyone, please just feed the questions in and we'll weave it in. But where do you want to go next? I mean, I'm not sure if I get credit for collaboration as a service, but what are you training folks on?
I'm gonna go get a bumper sticker made with
that. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's teaching people and our clients how, like, the breadth of this technology that they, for the most part, already own. And so whether it's Azure consumption or it's making sure that people understand what Microsoft Loop is, mm-hmm. And how you can use it in your environment. I mean, look, the modern work stack is as complicated and sophisticated as Epicor ERP. And there's such a depth to it. And it really depends on it's getting to know your clients. It's trying to figure out what their use cases are, what their goals are, and then taking the knowledge and the expertise you have in this particular, in these particular areas, and moving them to that space. Whether it's, I mean, you know, we have clients now who have no servers,
right?
Everything's, you know, so on prem, they may have a firewall, some switches, some user interface devices, PCs, tablets, whatever. And, all the compute and everything else happens in their Microsoft tenant.
Mm-hmm. And then, so we're talking about Azure, right?
Yeah, Azure. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I should probably say, so we have a handful of designations from Microsoft. We're experts in AI and data. That's our latest designation that we've earned. We've also Azure architecture. We do a lot of Azure consulting and a lot of setting up Azure. We have security, modern work, Azure virtual desktop specialization. We're a tier one CSP managed Microsoft partner, which is as a tier one CSP, we're actually small for that type of relationship with Microsoft as far as our total breadth, but we are dedicated into that one vertical, and I think that particular vertical is of interest to the folks at Microsoft.
Awesome. Got lots of partners, I'm sure, that are either in manufacturing and that space or trying to break into it. And are there, you know, besides the kind of normal things of cybersecurity, data protection, you know, antivirus, ransomware protection, things like that, and of course, just all the monitoring that needs to happen, what are maybe some of those business cases? What was the aha moment from their point of view of, oh, well, you've helped us with this ERP and you've helped us, you know, unite all of our data and flows and inventory and billing and finances and everything, but now you can help us with this. And wow, we didn't even know that we needed that.
There is, you know, manufacturers as a group tend to be on the laggard end of the adoption sure. curve. And we're starting to see that change quite a bit. And I think it, some of it is kind of another generation of folks coming in. You know, our clients run all the way from multi-generational to multinational large corporations. And so we are starting to see a kind of a change in reliance on the infrastructure systems. But I think it's there's so much confusion and people just don't know where to go, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you talk to five people, you get five answers, you Google something, it's like going to WebMD and Googling headache.
Anything. Right? I would not recommend Googling anything on WebMD.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you either need a nap or you've got a brain tumor, right? That's so it's it can be that way, especially, you know, a lot of manufacturers now are being forced down a compliancy path of some sort. Right. And it's happening not only from just their, it's because most of our clients are part of the supply chain. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's their customers
right.
that are forcing them to be compliant in NIST or ITAR or CMMC or whatever it happens to be.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of how can I do that? And the key is because you can spend as much money as you want, but how do I do that affordably and economically and get value for what I'm trying to do without spending, breaking the bank. Cause
right.
you know, we were just, I'm sure you're going to plug our podcast that we just did a couple of days ago, but, we were talking about this too. You know, the thing about security is it's not super sexy unless you're a security person. And it's not like invite all your friends over to come see the CMMC compliance scorecard, right? It just doesn't happen. And so, but it's important. And it's important if, you know, for sound of mind, for if you're trying to lure in new clients or bigger clients as a manufacturer, or if you're just trying to get cyber insurance.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, of course, all these, and you're in a manufacturing hub in Wisconsin, right? You guys are based on. So
there's a couple of them around here. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of that. And so this idea of like, hey man, I'm just trying to make a bunch of bolts and washers and stuff, and now I have to do this data thing and that data thing, and I'm sure it's just kind of like mind blowing to them. And so for them to, you know, have you as a trusted partner, a trusted advisor, and then go to you for that just makes common sense.
Yeah, I mean, our clients, they make stuff and they ship stuff, and mm-hmm. at the end of the day, that's where they should be spending their time, not worried about, you know, the interconnectivity or their data backup, say, or their data at all, or how do I support my end users or my engineers that happen to live someplace else? How do we move CAD files up and down our internet pipe? I mean, all that stuff, you know, focus on what you do best and let, you know, guys like us focus on what we do best.
Right. I mean, that's the classic, Adam Smith, division of labor, just stick to your knitting. And so for you to, as the business world kind of reconfigures itself around them, for you to, and other, you know, partner companies to be able to support that and say, we got you, you know, just stay in your lane, do what you're doing, and we'll be your trusted partner.
Yeah. And do it in a fair and, mm-hmm. Financially responsible manner, because manufacturers tend to be very, very focused on that. I mean, right. it's
but the margins,
you know, they're used to, you know, they'll go out and they'll buy, you know, an $8 million plasma cutter, but they won't buy an $8 server.
Right.
Unless they see where, because they know the return on the $8 million plasma
cutter. Exactly. Yep.
And so that's really successful manufacturers tend to be successful, really good, successful business people in general.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Great. So again, thanks for joining us. Kick up your feet. If it's your lunch hour, and we're in the lounge with Mark talking about the power of Microsoft, all of the parts of the suite that maybe you didn't even know about. So let's get into AI. They'll probably draw up a few more questions. And again, we'll plug your podcast early and often. I was thrilled to join you on the most latest iteration, and Danielle hosted us on that. And it's on YouTube, is where I find it, and it's on a playlist there. Just amazing podcast, lots of funny banter back and forth. So just to kind of go sort of re-trigger one of the earlier conversations you had with Tom over at TW Tech as well, but you guys are just super steeped in AI. You're using it successfully. You're cutting down your own number of hours that you're spending on kind of mundane tasks like finance and just you know, just pouring through heaps of data and standardizing it and making it better, you know, having less human error while saving time and money. So either that, or what are you doing for clients?
I'll tell you how we started this. So because we have an ISV designation with Microsoft, we do get access, early access to development stuff. And 2 years ago, probably, we started messing around with Microsoft Cognitive Services, and which is part of OpenAI and all that other stuff, and what that could do for us. And we just started using it internally. And it started to bring a ton of value just in and of itself. And then, you know, just going and querying and asking and then creating language models around our specific business. And then we integrated it into ConnectWise, which is our line of business system. So now everything that comes in, all the help tickets that come in get read with, we call our AI product Resolve IQ. Hmm. The reason we call it Resolve IQ is because that's what it told us to call it.
you just asked it?
And then the other key is we're always really nice to it, just in case it becomes self-aware.
That was on the podcast too, and I do that to the Google Hub at home, and I'm setting a timer for the kitchen, and I always say it's blaring in our ears and we're screaming at it, but I'm like, hey guys, you know, turn off the timer, please, Google.
Yeah, you that's never know. that's exactly right. And so what we ended up doing is so then we put in, so every ticket that comes in gets read by Resolve IQ, and then a response goes out instead of the canned response of, hey, we got your workflow response. It's actually specific to that request. Hmm. And so now we're starting to bake in, hey, while you're waiting for somebody to call you back, try these three things. And so, and then if a client responds back to the help desk ticket and says, hey, what's going on with this? It will actually pull up the notes and everything and respond back to the client.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
And so we are, and that's right now. Mm-hmm. We used to have our billing process on a weekly basis used to take it took like days, right? Because you come in and you get the invoice, timesheets, and all this other stuff. We threw Resolve IQ at it, and now we can get billing out the door in like 20 minutes.
Amazing.
And it meshes everything up, and the stuff that it doesn't make sense, it presents it to the biller. They take a look at it and they go, oh, okay, big, big, big. And the 10 things they need to look at is called out and they address it, and away it goes. So we have literally, I mean, it has to have been tens of thousands of hours that it's helped. It creates our scopes of work now. So now what we'll do is you'll do a Teams meeting and you'll record it, and you'll then throw that in, that transcript into Resolve IQ, mm-hmm. and it'll say, not only summarize it, but create a scope of work based on this conversation. And it'll do that now. And so we've grounded that. So, and this is what we found, and this is kind of the interesting thing about, because AI is, you know, everybody uses AI as this broad brush, paintbrush.
Right.
And what we found is, really, you're going to find a couple of different applications for this, right? So you have the under the hood and create
language models,
this particular image and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then there's in our world, there's going to be the specific application AI. So ConnectWise is developing it. Epicor is developing it. Copilot is specific to the modern work 365 PowerPoint stuff. Yeah. But what we found was a specific language model, which is grounded in your business information, is far more valuable, mm-hmm. because it knows who you are and it knows what you do and it knows how you do it. And so it takes everything from that perspective. So the information we get back from Resolve IQ is more exacting, more specific, and more relevant to our business.
Of course.
And so what we're doing now is now we're starting to take it out to our clients, and we're starting to create language models specifically for our clients or our specific use cases that we're doing. We have some pre-baked use cases in there. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that Resolve IQ isn't competing with the application specific AI pieces, but it will be in conjunction to, so that those application specific entry points will have a language model that it can lean into that is specifically about your business and about your about what you do. And it's unbelievably interesting in that. So I did an example for a client of ours a couple of weeks ago, and I went to his website and I downloaded 6 PDFs on the machines that they make. And we created a language model. It's not super thorough, right? But it's grounded in those particular things. And we were able to pull a lot of data just out of the grounding in those language models. And then the integration into their website, which, you know, just the pages or whatever. And it's, you know, compare this to this, you know, what's the speed that this thing runs versus that thing, you know, that, those things. So those 6 PDFs and the website were able to bring a ton of value just in that small little sample size. Right. And it's super exciting and it's a lot of fun. And the best part is when you create a scope of work using Resolve IQ and then you ask it to do it in the voice of a pirate, that's the best.
Right. And make sure that we're doing it properly on St. Patrick's Day. And
yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah. do it in leprechaun style. So I have a million questions. So for that, how is it used? Is it support questions? Is it for more marketing? Is it sort of that Amazon experience to like compare X to Z of our product line? Or is it how to answer support questions?
You know, all the above. So it's natural language, right? So you and it's designed. So it uses the Microsoft Cognitive Platform. It uses the security settings that are inherent within your Enter ID. So you log in with your username and password just like you do. It comes through a browser. All of our clients' data is specific to them and is housed to them and goes nowhere else.
Right.
So it's not, you know, this whole thing about OpenAI where nobody really knows where the data that you're inputting goes, right? And so this, it all stays there. And so basically it's two sections. It's our cognitive services and our ability to do the AI processing, but all the data sits where it sits, whether it's in SharePoint or directory or a server or wherever it happens to be, and it doesn't go anywhere else.
Right. Within their instance and within their M365 environment.
Hey, that's exactly right.
Cool. And so then, how do you price it? So again, forgive the marketing, but AI as a service. I've been talking to folks, I've been talking about automation as a service and AI as a service and, you know, collaboration as a service. And so how do you?
Yeah. So there's a price to build the language model depending upon what your use case is. And sometimes it's, I got this spreadsheet from hell. And I need to tame it. And that becomes the crux of the language model, or sometimes it's just generalized product manuals and that kind of thing. So we build the language model, and that's a like a flat fee essentially.
Cool.
And then there's an ongoing fee that helps, because there is Azure consumption that occurs in this. And so there's a fee to that piece, and then we have a per user model where depends on how many people you want to hit it. Type of thing, we'll charge X amount per user on top of that.
Incredible.
So the key is to try to scale it. So if you're not really huge, it doesn't cost you a ton of money, right? And but you can scale it all the way up to big as you need it to be.
Did you ask Resolve IQ how to price itself for your clients?
We did, actually. I use it all the time. You know, I'll use it. I'll do stuff like we'll have somebody new start. And you have to write the email to the all hands email, like, hey, welcome aboard. Yeah. Bryce, he's our new guy, right? And it's always the tough part is getting started, like the first 10 words, right?
100%.
So what I do is I take the resume and I take the job description and I say, hey, Bryce is starting in this particular role on Tuesday. He's going to report directly to me, write a welcome aboard email to the all hands crew. And there it is. Oh. Now, you never really send out the first one by, you know, you always got to put a human touch to it. And, but it's a, you know, it gets you 80% of the way there.
Now, and the voice of a pirate, which is how I like to be introduced. And so
that's exactly right. So, yeah. So when you start with the voice of the pirate, absolutely.
Okay. So, how have folks been justifying the cost on their side? How has the sales conversation happened? Are they like, ooh, hours saved? incremental like marketing and support effort? I can sell more myself. I can win more customers. What's the equation in their mind?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. It's so right now, like any technology adoption curve, right? We're still kind of in the innovator early adopter stage. So it's, you know, it's the visionaries are the ones we're talking to right now.
Right.
And it really has to do with, this action takes me this much time. And by cutting out, by making it more efficient, I can get more stuff done with less, basically. Right. You know, one of the challenges we all have as business leaders is you can't hire enough people. And so you got to figure out, okay, if I can't hire enough people, it's you got to figure out how to get stuff done with the amount of people that you have.
That's right.
And this is a really great way to do that. And so that seems to be kind of the leading motivator to some of this stuff. Just being able to compare, contrast, and aggregate data, and then converse to it with in just the way that you would text your friends.
Right. Yeah. So do more with less gives me kind of trauma triggers and the shutters, because as a marketer, it's always, you know, the finance people like, hey, do more with less. But yeah. let's use force multiplier. So the idea, like, you have a great team, you have a great product, you've got a great, you know, reputation as a business, and what's that force multiplier to take you the extra mile?
Yeah. And that, you know, that's exactly right. So, you know, we're like, so for example, we are getting ready to introduce Resolve IQ out to our managed services customers, end user support customers. And they are, and so they're going to get the ability to go into Resolve IQ to log in and then get information back on their open tickets and projects just by asking. And by doing that, we're hoping to, that's just one last phone call.
Yeah.
So that when the conversations begin, they're much better and deeper, as opposed to here's this the transactional information to get started.
Amazing. It's not that it's a requisite to talk about AI. I mean, you're doing so much in the like you said, in the very leading edge of the space and on the very leading edge of the product adoption curve, and it's really exciting. Maybe let's switch complete gears and take a 90 degree turn at 100 miles an hour. What are the other parts of this 1,000-point solution strong Microsoft stack that you feel people are completely missing the boat on? They're just not even aware of. It just doesn't get the headlines that are pretty key.
I tell you what it is it's a lot of it has to do with the security piece, the multi-factor stuff. I think it's probably actually thinking about that. I think it's a couple of things actually. There's that, right? Because everybody's very, very aware, I think, now of the need to have good security in place, right? And it's multi-factor. I mean, even today, though, I mean, multi-factor, which you have to have multi-factor. We still have people turning off their multi-factor because they don't want to mess with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that piece of it. There's the Azure compute piece, moving applications into the, you know, replacing servers with Azure consumption. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't necessarily think that way or have a bunch of misperceptions on that. So I think that's a piece which blows my mind. I mean, you know, if let's say I came to you and I said, Bryce, I got this great idea. I want you to buy this piece of equipment for your business. It's going to be terrific. And you're going to spend $30,000 on it. In 4 years, it's going to be worth $300. Would you do it?
No. Can you sell me a plasma cutter instead? Because that's something.
Well, yeah, right. Exactly. Well, that's why. It's exactly. So it's what a bad business decision a server is.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's certain needs you have to have it. You have to have, you know, computer compute on prem sometimes, and that's okay. And you can do that hybrid work too. But for the most part, if I can put that stuff into an Azure instance, which never ages and is constantly being updated and you never have to mess with, that's a heck of a business conversation to have with folks.
Right.
I think that even though that has been out there for a while and we have been in the Azure business since probably 2016, there's still a lot of our clients and potential clients out there that just are not thinking along those along those lines. But I think too, the security piece, the compliance piece, the compliance scorecard, all of that baked in stuff there has the ability to take you exactly where you need to go to make sure that you're working your way towards whatever compliance or security position you need to be in. It's all right there.
Mm-hmm.
And all it just needs to be is be configured. You know, threat protection. It's all right there. All it needs to be is be configured. And it's all in most of what you need is included in the business premium stack. Now, if you're an executive, maybe you need to go up into an E-level security piece or whatever. And it can get confusing. And, you know, I don't think people should try this at home. I think you need to employ an expert. Right. But it is a... But those are two places that are pretty short putts for most people that they just don't even think about.
Interesting. Scott Werner, thank you very much for the Princess Bride mention. See you. That's great. So Mark, don't the costs add up? So why are people not doing more of this? Is it out of tradition? Is it out of things that you know? And a lot of MSP owners, you know, they're kind of still stuck. Maybe that's a bad way to say it, but they're the people who get stuff done. Like they're the doers. They found out the business. They know how to do the networking and all the configuration. And now, yeah, it's been out there for a little while, but it's a brave new world out there. Is it that? Is it no? I've actually done the math, and these things stack up really, really quickly, and the public cloud costs get out of hand. What do you think are obstacles here?
Well, I think part of the roadblocks from just an MSP experience is some of it is just lack of understanding.
Sure.
Right. When you have a client base that is ground in a certain technology stack, to make that change is slow and painful. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. Part of it's what you know. You know, we spend a unbelievable amount of time on education here and with our folks and getting them certified and having them understand. And I mean, it is a prerequisite for all of our frontline technical employees, whether they're on the ERP side of the business or on the modern work side of the business or the traditional MSP part of the business, is they all have to be certified in something. And it's so we're constantly pushing the edge of that knowledge base. I think that's part of it. I think part of it is the client base. You know, it's
correct.
You got to be able to move your clients one way or another. And like I said before, there's a tremendous amount of confusion and a tremendous amount of fear, because this person over here who has this solution, this is what they say, and you have to do this. And if you don't do this, you know, your business will fall into the crevasse, into the lava and the earth. And these guys are telling you the exact same thing, but it's completely opposite.
Right.
And so I think what we found is a good, direct, conservative conversation with your clients, taking into consideration both the operational and the financial impact on your client, and working within your client's best interest, really goes a long way.
Yeah. Not to plug our MSP Experience Summit out of hand too much, but on October 3rd, we have a completely free virtual summit, and I have a session with Dennis Cockrell on selling with confidence. And that kind of sounds like I'm hearing some of those vibes of like, we do this a certain way. Our clients are always putting the fear of God into us. So like, we have to do this a certain way. But you're the captain of this pirate ship, right? It's like, you know, there's a new way of doing things. It's going to make sense for you, the client, the end user. It's going to lead you into a higher compliant, lower risk kind of future. And so how would you recommend people get started? Do you start with a world client? I mean, education is a cost, and that you have to bone up on something. You really have to do your research, but they can take a playbook from you, from others. They can, you know, kind of to get certified, try it out, and then maybe try with the client and really see how well they.
Yeah, I think so. You know, from time to time, we'll have an MSP. We'll reach out somebody local who's like, hey, we're trying to get this thing going. Can you help us with our first Azure implementation or whatever? And so we'll engage with those guys and work through that so that they understand. But again, it's you know, the golden rule is, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated. But the platinum rule is treat people the way that they want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, historically in the MSP space, look, we're all a bunch of technologists, not necessarily a bunch of salespeople.
Right.
And so it may not come natural to us. That's why you go down to IT Nation and there's, you know, there's a ton of, you know, selling and marketing and breakout sessions. But I think if you just talk plainly and real and use small words and stay out of industry jargon and say, look, here's where, this is where the technology is going. You're going to get there eventually, right? So in 2016, we made the decision that for every server we quoted an Azure instance.
Interesting.
And nobody bought the Azure instances, you know, but eventually people did. And now we don't sell a whole lot of physical servers anymore.
Right.
You know, it's funny, we just did not too long ago. And it's like, it's almost like we forgot how to place that order, right? It just doesn't happen.
Resolve IQ, order me a server.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, how do I configure this?
It's like, I don't even know how to do that anymore.
So but I think that's the key. If you want to take your clients down this road of where they're going to be, and you say those words, look, you're going to be here eventually because this is where everything is going. You don't have to do it now, but eventually you will. So you should start to educate yourself. Now in this transaction, and if that server isn't going to, you know, if you need that new server, so you can buy the new server, but let's spend a little bit of time talking about what the Azure instance looks like. And then so that 4 more years from now, you've actually gone through those motions a little bit.
I love it. I love the vision and the planting the seed. And it's kind of like we talked in the break around the podcast, and you kind of never know when it's going to like kick in and when it's really going to click and go. But you, from 2016 onward, we know that's the path forward. We're going to start doing it, and it just becomes baked in. And then when the time is right, it comes up more. If I could, so quasi interrupt myself real quick, we have a question. Recommendations for reducing those cloud costs via automation. I know other cloud vendors will do things like move data to cheaper storage in off hours or powering down extra systems overnight. This is from Kevin.
Yeah, so we do that. We have I call it, you talk about marketing terms. We'll implement your instance and it will follow the sun. So we have a we have a few worldwide organizations. We have clients in 42 states and 11 countries. And the sun, this is a huge, I mean, you talk about marketing statement, the sun never sets on TW Technology clients.
Love it.
But what we'll do is we'll do exactly that. It's about cost containment, right? I mean, it's about treating your client's money like it's your money. Mm-hmm. And then in that case, you say, okay, well, when, like, I'll give you an example. So we have a client, they use their Epicor system is in Azure. They literally have employees around the world. So when, you know, Pacific goes to bed, we'll power down some certain things and we'll power up Asia. And then as that happens, and we'll put more power to the EU, and then, you know, we'll power it back down, right? And we do that. I'll tell you where we're doing that quite a bit now is through Azure Virtual Desktops.
Okay.
Which is phenomenal, which is if you think PC in the cloud, right? Mm-hmm. So there's 365 PC and Azure Virtual Desktops PC. I use it almost every day. I actually run our entire business off my iPad for the most part. And when I have to, I jump onto a Azure Virtual Desktop and do my Windows stuff that I have to do on my little iPad. You do have the ability to do that. The other thing that we find a lot is we'll go into other Azure instances and see that they're badly configured.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have clients that are spending too much money. This is not a technology where you can just press next. you need to know, you know, how to configure this stuff. One of the lessons learned is the analog between a traditional on-prem server and an Azure instance is not direct. Mm-hmm. If you try to set up an Azure instance to look like this on-prem server, it will be too much money for your client.
Right.
If you are spending more money on that instance and that compute than you would on an on-prem server, you are not doing it right.
Right.
And we see that a lot.
And so then how manual is the automation? So how much are you then at the dials doing this? Is it a preset configuration? Is there some kind of machine learning that goes with that of Asia up, you know, US down, vice versa?
Yeah. Like, so we, so for implementation, we actually have scripted out a bunch. We can spin up an Epicor instance in Azure in, you know, short order. And of course there's always little things you gotta, you know, nothing, there is no push the red button and walk away. But we've done a lot of scripting to that regard. And the rest of it is just knowing your way around how to write those scripts to do that. And it's not hard, and the information is out there. I guess I should say this. One of the things that we did early on to really lean into Microsoft is we hired a person, and her whole job is to mirror up with Microsoft.
Okay.
Because if you try to do it yourself as a business leader, Microsoft will crush you in information. No, Microsoft loves nothing more than a 97-page PowerPoint deck. And so our Microsoft Alliance Manager, what her job is to take the flow from Microsoft, the fire hose flow, and bring it into a fire to a trickle of a hose. And then and then fill up the glass of water and then hand me the glass of water. And it is a full-time job. And then to communicate back to Microsoft for both our technical and business managers that they've assigned to us, and so that they understand what we're doing, so we can leverage some of that stuff. But it is if you try to scratch the surface by yourself, it can get overwhelming pretty fast.
This is great. I love talking about the people element. I mean, we are sort of talking, you know, business-to-business partnership window of that, but how do you recommend that people do that? Do you hire from Microsoft? Is there a partner program that lends itself? You just hire the unicorn, the rock star?
Yeah, it's not easy. So what we do, two things. One is that we like to take our frontline MSP level 2 people, and we like to train them up and get them into that business. And we've done that successfully in a number of areas. Our director of development started as a frontline level 2 TAC.
Awesome.
I would much rather promote from within than hire from without.
Yeah.
But on occasion, you've got to go outside. So our alliance manager, she's a former Microsoft employee. Mm-hmm. We've hired in our director of modern work practice is a modern work expert and has been for a very long time. So when we have to bring in those folks to bring those in, we'll hire outside, but we much prefer to train from within to give everybody here a really interesting and exciting career path.
Very cool. Got a couple more questions, then we'll get into the lightning round, cognizant of time. How would you recommend, are there any certification, you've had this, you know, journey just going step by step and furthering, you know, through, it's taken you some time. If you were to kind of do it from scratch or advise someone right now starting from ground zero, is there one that you would start from, you know, in a similar type of business as you? Is there a sequence?
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I get asked that question on occasion. And if you had to start over, what would you do? And so there's a little piece of me that says I wouldn't do this. So I think it depends on where you want to go. So we started in the Azure realm because it was a more of a direct like for like servers on prem, et cetera, right? If this in the security realm, I think it's kind of the same thing. If you're kind of have a security bent or compliance bent to your business, that would be the place to go. The 900 series, are primarily for, sales and entry level. So if you have people that don't understand it at all, that's a good place to go. We skip those. Like we might send some salespeople through that, but or some brand new people, but the 900 series really doesn't do much for you. It really doesn't land into your designations or anything else. But what I would do is I would you know, go after, you know, either the Microsoft stuff, which is more modern work, you know, how to set that up and configure that. I mean, those are all, there's some really good, and they all start, it's just like college. It starts at the 100s and it goes to the 200s and it's your 400s, you know, that kind of stuff. Their Azure has that same thing. Security has that exact same thing. Now there's an AI path. We just got done with an audit, passing an audit for Microsoft on AVD deployment. That had a path, but it takes effort and it takes time, and you've got to be willing to take your people and take them off the line for a little bit. So we give our people, we give them time to study. Right now they got to study on their own too. They got to study on the weekends, but we give them time to study. We pay for the study materials. We pay for them to take the test.
Okay.
And then we incent them when they pass. I can always tell you, we have a lot of stuff that happens like in November, because people are trying to make money before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of, guys passing their tests around middle of November. Nice. But that's what you have to do. And as a business leader, you got to make that investment. It's isn't going to happen organically. And quite frankly, because if you're just in the Microsoft resale license business through, you know, a tier one player like Tech Data, mm-hmm. CDW, one of those guys,
yeah.
The margins aren't all that great.
Right.
It's where you get into volume and value and getting into the Microsoft marketplace and creating your own applications like Resolve IQ or Epicor and Azure for us. There's some real money to be made in the Microsoft space, but it's not super obvious, and it's not selling 13, you know,
right,
business premium licenses.
How many licenses can I get off the truck today? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure people can reach out to you and you know, consult with you.
I'm always willing to talk about stuff. You know, it's one of the great things that about the Axient Partner Council is the folks on that group are really, really smart. I learn more about the industry there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you guys get a lot of value of it because everybody's got an opinion. But those guys are really, really smart. And I learn a lot about those business just by sitting in those meetings. And I think the cool thing about our industry is I think everybody's willing to help and give back. And you don't see that in a lot of industries like the MSP business. So yeah, I'm always willing to talk to folks.
Right on cue. We've hit our stride to say community, community, community. And we're huge here at Axient about it, you know, with our partner advisory council. But, you know, it sounds like ConnectWise is your flavor. Are you in Evolve, or had you been before?
No, we do. Well, I've been at, we go to whatever IT, the one in November. Mm-hmm. I've been there consistently since we got on ConnectWise in 2014, which I think is when we first started doing business with Axient too, yeah. As a matter of fact. And so we're there every year. And then we send some folks down in the one in June, which is more security related.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. There. But I find that conference is really, really interesting. And it's not so much, it's one to see the new stuff that's getting developed, the new tools that are being developed, but it's just the camaraderie and the conversations and sitting down at lunch or dinner with, you know, folks you don't know or in the openness is just, it's really cool. And it honestly took me by surprise when I first got exposed to it.
Right. Peer groups, meetings, trade shows, to your point, folks are so willing to share their best practices and so open and so willing to help others. I know you are, and you embody that as well. So sounds like, you know, folks have additional questions and want to kind of really unpack and maximize the value that is sort of hidden within this Microsoft behemoth of all the solutions and all the offerings. It's out there. It's there for the taking, and probably just need some networking and some, you know, one-on-one conversations.
Yeah, drop me a line on LinkedIn or whatever. I'm more than happy to help people navigate the
incredible. Okay. Well, my young son is screaming in the background, so it's probably my cue to move on. If you heard that, so I think you have a link tree that Isabel is going to somehow drop magically somewhere at LinkedIn where I can't see it, maybe, and that is to your podcast and to W Tech. And so, just wanted to kind of preempt that a little bit as we head into the lightning round, if that works for you, Mark.
Bring it.
All right, here we go. We love doing this. I think we had an unfinished thought. So before we do that, if you could just kind of remind everyone the Arizona background behind you in the office, kind of what's the story?
So I'm a U of A graduate. Bear down, go Cats.
All right.
Behind me is a painting of Push Ridge, which is just north of the Tucson metro area. We have another place down there besides here in Wisconsin, and that is actually the view outside our window of our place. And the interesting story is I got the painting before I got the house. So, yeah.
You know, not saying we're living in a simulation, but you know, if we were, that would be one.
Yeah, let me get out of the way.
Exactly. Love it. All right. What is your favorite city in the world?
Tucson, Arizona.
All right.
If I can't be in Tucson, I'll take Heartland, Wisconsin all day long.
Very cool. Love it. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
All right. Hot coffee or iced coffee?
Oh, I can't do iced coffee. It's like, I can't. It's hot coffee. I like my coffee. You know, what's funny is I drink a lot of coffee. I'm not really a big coffee fan. Mm-hmm. It's more of a caffeine delivery method vehicle. To me.
Yeah. That reminds me of Ron Swanson with that. If you watch Parks and Rec, it's a whole new meat delivery system. I think it was the meat tornado.
That's exactly.
It is a caffeine delivery system. Love it. Are you a night owl or an early bird?
I'm a night owl. I struggle getting up in the morning, but I can't go to sleep at night. And folks will hear it, TW, tell you every once in a while, they'll get an email from me at 2 a.m. or something. And
right. And they get to it when they get to it, I guess.
Yeah. I don't expect. And then, you know what? It's really weird though. Is sometimes I'll send an email and they will respond.
Right.
And then I'm like, what are you doing? Go to bed.
Yeah. I didn't send it to, the emails scheduling thing I've found handy at times when I'm not trying to annoy people. The first car you ever drove?
Was a 1976 Oldsmobile Cutlass S.
Okay.
And it was red and it had AM only.
Amazing. All right. We're not talking about the fake wood paneling on the side.
No. This is a little more of a sporty Oldsmobile.
Okay.
And it was, I chaired it out. I had a CB radio in it. See, most of the people that listen to this don't even know what a CB radio is.
All right.
But we had a CB radio in it back in the day. That's how we used to talk to our friends before we had cell phones.
No need for FM if you got the CB. That's
exactly
right. That's your iPhone and the Cutlass.
Yep.
Love it. All right. Your favorite karaoke song?
Brandy.
All right.
You're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. Yeah, that's probably it.
Amazing. All right. That was bringing
kind of in my range, sort of.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, a smart person would consider their own abilities. I'm a Don't Stop Believing guy, and clearly I cannot hit any of those notes in that song. But usually I'm not worried about that when karaoke comes around. All right. And so sports season for some sports is coming up on us. What season of the year is your
football
favorite?
I grew up in Nebraska. Football is my I live in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You probably heard of this team we have here. Football all day long. I will blow an entire Sunday watching Red Zone.
Oh, amazing. Awesome. Yeah.
It is the best channel ever invented by man.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's kind of it's almost too good. It's just like all the instant gratification and none of the heartbreak.
Yeah, exactly.
And for the one time a year where the Panthers are actually on there, I'm happy when we actually see them. All right. And we've talked about your IT conference. So you like Connect and Secure. Anything else that you want to point to in terms of industry events that you really like to get to?
No, we show at the Epicor user group Insights. We have a pretty good showing there. We throw a pretty nice party for our clients. It's all our clients, right? So that's pretty fun. We do that. That's our big marketing event every year.
Yeah,
right.
It's really cool. Okay.
Yeah, you know, and then we I make sure we get down and we send the appropriate people down to IT Nation.
Great.
In November.
Excellent. Yeah. No, it's a brilliant idea just to really rally around a line of business kind of application. And, you know, when you have that specialty to, you know, get your folks or your customers there and just go big on that. That's really
cool. And I think the thing is too, is that we have specifically chosen to go narrow and deep with our partners.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Axient, for example, Microsoft, Epicor, ConnectWise. I mean, even though we're a ConnectWise customer, technically, early on I smoked all of Arnie's dope and we bought all of it. And, so we use all those tools and everything else. And, it's a key part of our business as well.
It's very cool. All right. How would Resolve IQ want us to end this? I think we do want to do a couple of shout outs and a couple of last calls to action, but I'm curious, like, how would Resolve IQ send us?
If Resolve IQ said, you know what, I probably should have prepped this, but here,
No. Let's do it live.
Let's do it live here. Okay. So I'm going to call up Resolve IQ.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I'm on a live stream with MSPs, how should I sign off? It'd
be funny if this was the thing that triggered the singularity of all. Yeah.
It will now become self-aware.
Yeah. My chance.
All right, let's see what we get. We are, dear viewers, thank you for joining us in today's live stream with Managed Services Providers, MSPs. I hope you found the session insightful and beneficial. As we conclude, I want to remind you that Tube and Tech is here to support your technology needs. See, I like this. See,
always be fun. Closing, Resolve IQ.
Always, yes, absolutely, especially within the manufacturing sector. Whether you need assistance with Epicor ERP, IT infrastructure, Azure Cloud Services, or security solutions, our team of experts is ready to help.
Incredible.
Best regards, Mark.
Could not have said it better myself, Mark Jameson, 2W Tech, Resolve IQ, Behind the Veil. Absolutely loved this conversation and always love hanging out and talking. Let's do this again soon.
Bryce, this was a lot of fun. I really appreciate you guys inviting me.
Likewise. Awesome. Have a great one, everybody.